Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, recent events have made it pretty clear what Israel and the United States want in relation to Iran. But what does Iran want? Vali Nasser is the author of Iran's Grand Strategy, a political history. Vali, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What does the West get wrong about Iran?
Well, as we're looking at this current situation of war, often in the West, the approach to Iran is to think of it a theocracy, that all of its decisions are made based on religion and cultural animosity towards the West. But in reality, it has a strategy that is designed to defend itself and to project power in the region around it. And its decision making is largely in secular terms that are quite understandable to the many in the West, whether they're thinking about allies or adversaries.
Though, I mean, would it be fair to say that the strategy, the pragmatic strategy, is to defend the theocracy?
But the theocracy part of it is not relevant. I mean, it's trying to defend the country, and much like with Russia, its policies may be wrongheaded and gets it into conflict with Europe and the United States. But its strategy is based on defending its turf and asserting its independence and projecting power as a main actor in the Middle East. And the theocracy part of it is not really reflect much value in terms of understanding why it makes certain decisions and why does it adopt certain policies.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And that sense that it is threatened, has that existed since the Islamic Revolution or even before that?
Before that, it also existed, but the country dealt with it differently. After the Iranian Revolution, the revolutionaries saw the United States as the principal threat to Iran and see the United States as determined to break and end the revolution. And therefore, they have got themselves into a decades-long conflict with the United States, which has now spiraled into the current conflict that we see.
Could one say they've overplayed their hand then if it's resulted in the U.S. directly bombing Iran?
Yes, many Iranians think that, first of all, the strategy has outlived its usefulness, that it's not wise because it had, even aside from the current war, it has cost Iranians a great deal of economic hardship because of sanctions, and the country has been isolated. And a lot of Iranians want a different way forward. Even if Iran is defending itself, it wants to assert this independence, they don't believe that the current strategy is actually very productive. I think the Islamic Republic is stuck right now with this strategy. But for us to understand, you know, how may they react to this moment, we have to have a sense of how their decision making happens. What's the logic behind it?
Yeah. And so outline for us, what is the strategy or has been the strategy up to this point?
I think largely the strategy has been to protect the Islamic Republic and Iran against the United States, and essentially to try to find ways to get the United States to leave the Middle East, stop containing Iran, and allow Iran to assert its role in the region as a great power. And therefore, they've engaged in varieties of policies in Lebanon, in Iraq, etc., to exhaust the United States and force it out. And they have also invested in nuclear program, in building a network of proxies in the region, all with the idea of finding levers of power that allows them to play this game. But every step they've taken has invited a counter reaction from the United States. And so they have found themselves in a situation of escalation that is not sustainable, as we see.
One could be forgiven for thinking that certainly in terms of the strategy of having proxies, they're more aimed towards Israel than the United States directly.
Well, Iran has also for a very long time thought of Israel as an extension of the United States. I mean, this is a view that sees the United States as a grand imperial power and Iran as locked in an anti-imperialist struggle. And the United States has allies in the region, which have included Arab countries. And most importantly, it has included Israel as well. But sometimes Iran's proxies, like those in Iraq, have been more active against the United States than they have been active against Israel. The ones in Lebanon or Syria were more focused on Israel.
Mm. So in terms of the United States, is it that they keep distracting the United States or keep them over busy in the region so that the United States eventually says, well, we'll just leave the entire region alone? Is that simplistically put, I know, but is that generally the idea?
That is generally the idea. This is sort of the poor man's way of resisting. And it has worked. It worked in Afghanistan for the Taliban. It worked in Iran for Iran in Iraq previously. It also worked for Hezbollah at one point against Israel, where it forced Israel to abandon occupation of Lebanon in the 1980s and 1990s. So Iran thinks that it doesn't have the weaponry that the United States and its allies have. It doesn't have the Air Force. What it can do is essentially engage in a kind of a guerrilla warfare, and not only in its own territory, but actually in territories around it, wherever there is opportunity, in order to, as you say, to exhaust the United States and make it want to leave.
Mm. But in terms of Israel, would the aim be to exhaust Israel or to destroy Israel?
Well, I think, the rhetoric of destroy Israel is there. But in practical terms, Hezbollah's main function was to deter Israel from the kind of offensive that it undertook 10 days ago against Iran. Hezbollah acted as a menace on Israel's borders, but also as a deterrent against Israel, using its much more superior air force and military capabilities against Iran. That all changed after the October 7th attacks and the Gaza war and then the collapse of Hezbollah. And that's why now the battle between Iran and Israel is much more direct between the two of them and on the forefront, and is being waged in form of missiles and bombs going across from one country to the other.
Which I imagine is the last thing Iran wants.
It's the last thing Iran wants, and it's actually had hoped for over several decades that these proxies would actually sufficiently deter Israel from using its technological might, military might, against Iran. And so that situation has now drastically changed, and we have to see where does it go from now, because right now they're in a ceasefire, but this war is by no means done.
Mm.
It didn't settle anything really, other than essentially make the confrontation much more dangerous and direct.
The Iranian leadership, though, would you contend that they're pragmatic enough to change their strategy?
I wouldn't say they're going to change their grand strategy. They're not going to abandon their view that the United States is the principal threat to them. But they may change their tactics, and they have in the past. Like in 2015, they agreed to a nuclear deal with the Obama administration. And that was a major engagement with the United States and Europeans to defuse tensions and de-escalate tensions between them. Unfortunately, I think President Trump decided to leave that agreement. And so that moment passed, and it didn't yield sufficient results. But the decision to sit down and talk with the United States about the nuclear program was a step off of direct confrontation towards a diplomatic engagement.
Mm. And if you like, beyond that, does Iran have an ambition for itself in that, you know, it's a very ancient society. It's been around for an awfully long time. And in terms of projecting its power, it's not just about keeping Iran safe, but it's spreading Iran's influence around the world.
You're correct. I mean, there is definitely Iranian nationalist ambitions at play as well, which, go farther back than the Islamic Republic. The Shah, before the Islamic Republic, similarly saw Iran as a great power that should lord over the region and matter to the region. The Islamic Republic sees Iran in the same manner, except it sees that its way to playing that role is blocked by the United States and the alliance system that is created. So whereas the Shah made peace with the U.S. and that facilitated Iran playing that kind of a role, the Islamic Republic is constantly bumping its head against the United States that wants to confine Iran into its own territory and keep it out of the region. So part of this conflict is really about that, is about the fact that Iran is trying to reject being excluded from the Middle East and kept behind the containment wall.
Within Iran, or is the political leadership, do they more or less look at these problems in the same way, or are there perhaps conflicting ideas about what they should do next?
There is intense debate, and that's these debates, for instance, have flared up around, should we talk to the United States about our nuclear program or shouldn't we? And in fact, we saw it very recently while there was negotiations between the United States and Iran. But the main decisions have technically fallen in the direction of those who've seen little value in pursuing an aggressive diplomatic path with the U.S., and that have stuck by this grand strategy that we discussed. And so there have been tactical changes, but not major shifts. Now, this war may intensify the debate inside Iran because it's a true watershed moment. And Iran really went very close to having a catastrophic moment when a lot of its military commanders were killed and Israel went for decapitating the state altogether. They arrived at a ceasefire, but I think this war will cause a lot of head scratching in Tehran.
Yeah. Now, and as you know, Donald Trump threatened to do it, that he would have the Ayatollah Khamenei assassinated. Would that make that much of a difference?
Well, you know, the theory behind this assassination, whether it's legal or not, there's a lot of questions about whether this is really legal under international law to kill heads of states in this manner. The idea was that it would cause the collapse of the Islamic Republic, that if you killed a lot of the top military commanders, decision makers, and the head of state in a country like Iran, that the whole system would fall apart. It would not be able to fight back. And then you essentially have taken care of the problem in that manner. And so, yes, it might have made a difference. But if that was the plan, it didn't work. So the United States and Israel started a war, but the war, despite the tremendous amount of damage it did to Iran and also to Israel eventually, it really didn't change the scenario that much because Iran's nuclear program is still a problem, even though it was damaged. And the regime is still standing and is still being led by the same people who led it before the war started.
Vali, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Vali Nasser is the author of Iran's Grand Strategy, A Political History. One texter says, as a few people have mentioned, a lot of Iran's distrust stems from the CIA's overthrow of democratically elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, which is kind of, this was like the CIA way before the Islamic Revolution. The CIA came in and overthrew the elected government there. Now, but I think that's kind of the point that Vali was making, that people kind of conflate Iran's attitude to the outside world, that it's largely based on religion, but it's actually based more on their sense of being Iranian or Persian. Another texter says, like most big nation, I think Iran's strategy comes down to trying to reclaim something about its imperial history, make Iran great again. Yeah, there's probably a bit of that to it.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.